April 5th, 2005. I want you to remember that date. It's a very important date. It's the town election here in the town of Reading. Tonight, we are bringing to you the three candidates running to fill two seats on the school committee. I'm Jim Kidley. Sitting to my right is Paul Feely from the Daily Chronicle. McIntyre from the Advocate. They will be helping and assisting in asking questions. The three candidates to my left, Lisa Gibbs, incumbent. Next to her, Carl McFadden, incumbent. To his left, Linda Phillips. This is an important election, and I don't know how we can get any more adamant about it than to say we need your support. There is no federal election, no state election. The only draw I can tell you that is important to get out to vote is the fact that this is the grassroots of it all. Your local government, where you count the most. This program is being brought to you by RCTV 6 consecutive years. This is their 6th. This is my 11th. Now, with no further ado, I would like to start with Paul Feely, who will ask the first question. There will be no opening statements, and I'm not even going to put a time limit on your answers. If I think we've lost focus and you're entering an oration, I will automatically cut it off. Okay, Paul, it's in your hands.
Can I ask first which order we're going to go in?
To my left.
Not every question.
Not every question.
Hi. Well,
first.
Lisa, I guess you're first. So just where there were no opening statements, I guess the obvious first question is, why do you want to serve on the school committee?
Thanks, Paul. Well, I've had the privilege of serving on the school committee for the past year, and I really do enjoy the work that the school committee does, and I'm committed to the students of Reading to provide the townspeople with the fine balance that you need to make to budget responsibly and conservatively, while at the same time maintaining the level of teaching and learning that the town of Reading is so used to and has been used to for a very long time. So I'd like to remain on school committee and continue that progress.
First of all, Mr. Kagle, I'd like to thank you for hosting this event, as well as for Mac. Welcome to Reading. And Paul, as always, thank you for taking your time out tonight. The reason I want to run a stay on the committee for another 3 years is Reading is really at the crossroads of the educational system. We have a high school project that's a third of the way through, and now we're coming into the most difficult part of the high school project, which is the renovation. And there's going to be some very difficult decisions that need to be made because, as everyone knows, doing construction, new construction's a piece of cake when uncertainty, in the case of uncertainty. Now that once we start taking down, renovating the existing part of the high school, there's most likely going to be some tough decisions that need to be made. We're up against a tight budget. We're on schedule presently. The major thing that, besides the construction, is that the Reading school system had been at such a high level, and we need to maintain that high level because things are getting more and more difficult out there in society, that we need to make sure that the children have the education so they can be competitive. And I feel as though my experience the past 3 years have been a wonderful 3 years, and I'd like to dedicate another 3 years to the children and the residents of the town of Reading.
Linda.
Wow, I asked myself the very same question. What am I doing here again? But I had made a decision last year that I didn't want to run again because I I just felt that maybe there wasn't an interest in my candidacy. And then some issues came up over the last year around parental concerns and the unresponsiveness of the school committee, which many feel has become more of a chronic problem. And I was actually asked by some of these folks, because I have taken stands on issues. I've tried to represent my concerns around curriculum, my concerns around the MCAS scores. They've been stabilized over the years. And just that my willingness to speak up on issues that I feel need to be addressed or we need to pay attention to. So I felt privileged that I was able to, out of my time this year, to be able to say yes and make the commitment that I would run again. And so I'm here running, and I'm running to win. You all know who I am. You know how I stand on a lot of the issues. I look forward tonight to be able to explain to you more about that and to go in depth on some of the issues, the new issues that have come up over the last year. And I do thank RCTV for their public service in providing this forum for us to get on television. Thank Mr. Kiley and the folks from the newspapers to be here and ask us some questions. And I hope they get a little bit more challenging than why we're running for school committee. Thanks.
Mac, have you got any questions here?
I sure do. Some of you kind of hinted on this already. I'm wondering if you can go more into detail about your backgrounds and what experience and background that you have that makes you a suitable candidate for the school committee.
I guess I'll go first, since we're going in order. My experience has been in the professional sector, having run a couple different companies, as well as being chosen by Governor Romney to chair the Public Education Nominating Council, where I'm overseeing the appointment of all the trustees, so all the state colleges, Board of Higher Ed, as well as the Board of Education. I see what qualities are needed in up in the college level, from the community college to the state colleges, and seeing what's important for those schools, what the type of children they're looking for to make those schools successful. Having an understanding of Reading, being a Reading High grad, being born and raised in Reading, understanding what the issues are in Reading, what the people of Reading want, I feel having all that experience, not in the public sector, but also in the private sector, because people don't want to admit it, but really education is a business. The town gives us $30+ million, and they want us to get the greatest return on investment. And I feel as though having both the public and private background certainly gives me an advantage over the other candidates there.
My experience has been also in the private industry sector, where I worked in finance and administration, and for the last 5 or 6 years of my full-time employment outside, I worked at Polaroid in corporate communications, where I did a lot of things to aid employees' understanding of benefits and the climate of the company and introducing new products and that sort of thing. I also published a newspaper within our division, and I was responsible for speech writing for the corporate vice presidents, which I found very fascinating and exciting work. I'm a parent and a taxpayer, number one, and number two, I've attended for about the last 5 years most of the school committee meetings and finance committee meetings. And I've also been a town meeting member for the last 5 years, and I've participated in town government. And so I have a flavor of what's going on in our community, in the schools, with my children, in participating in school committee meetings. And also I followed the building projects in the when we had school building committee. And my interest has been in the academic areas and improving academic excellence. And I am, I've been an 8-year resident here in Reading, and I lived in Wilmington for 20 years, so I'm kind of a local girl, you might say, not a Massachusetts native, though. And I feel that being a taxpayer and a parent of children and having my finger on the pulse of the school issues qualifies me. For over 20 years, even before I had my own children, I also did a lot of volunteer work with children of all ages, and it gave me a unique insight into the needs of children and how to address some of those things. So, thank you.
Thanks, Mac.
I'm sorry, Lisa.
I don't have to answer it. That's okay. I don't mind. I'd love to answer it. First of all, my background, I was a special education tutor in a classroom in another town. My husband is a special educator at a local high school, and I bring a lot of classroom experience to the board, which I feel is very important. I also bring to the board an understanding of the balance between special education and regular education, being that my daughter is on an IEP and I have two children who are not. I'm aware of the rewards and challenges that teachers and administrators face on a daily basis, and I have a passion for the future of all the children in the town of Reading, and I am committed to helping make that better.
Thank you.
I'd like to inject a question which I have had submitted to me today. Keeping in mind the fact that we are about to put a debt exclusion for about $14 million to repair the water treatment plant, that we are short on funds to repair the roads that have been neglected for the last 10 years, that we still haven't replaced all the help we let go. Here's a question which I think the school committee should give deep thought to. The school committee is recommending an increase in the budget of about 3%. The levy limit increase is 2.5% automatically every year, plus new growth. Do you think the school budget should stay within that 2.5% increase? If so, give a reason why. If not, give a reason why not. Want to start with you, Lisa? I would like to.
No, that's my turn.
I'm not going to keep a pattern.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that a 3% budget, although it's higher than the 2.5% that you speak of, Mr. Kively, I think a 3% budget still is very tight. And from what I understand, the town manager has also brought in a budget within that pretty much same target rate of 3%. I feel that if we did put a budget in for less than 3%, there is no padding in that budget at all. We have reduced a lot of things from last year in our budget because we need to add classroom teachers, which is a priority of the school committee. And we have had to reduce things, some things like professional development and the mentoring program for the teachers. And if we did reduce the budget, I have no idea where it would come from. All I can say is I believe that we'd have to look at eliminating positions, and that is not something that I know that me and my colleagues are prepared to do.
Okay.
It's funny is that I voted in reference to John Carpenter made the motion, and I voted in favor of it to cap our budget at 2.5%. However, the majority of the school committee voted in favor of the 3.1% budget, and as a member of the school committee, when the board votes for it, you need to support the board. I honestly feel as though one of the things is that the budget is very tight. We have runaway cost in terms of special ed. There's a lot of things going on in the special ed system that makes it you can't really have a lot of control on that, because every child is entitled to the education that is equal to every single child in the Commonwealth. And it is very difficult, and these are difficult decisions. One of the things that I did support and was one of my recommendations when I came on the board was to get a financial manager in place. Mary Delay has done a fabulous job. Our capital plan is outlined. I think she wowed the finance committee last week. Reading, besides the roads, besides the water, we have a runaway freight train right now, and I think the selectmen certainly have their hands full with the assistance of the school committee, and that's really health insurance. The health insurance increase was over $1 million, and we had my representative at our meeting, at the school committee meeting on Monday. We had a joint meeting with FinCom as well as the selectmen. And Jim, to be honest with you, I didn't hear any answers from that gentleman. I think people that may have watched it at home, I did get a couple calls that people felt as though it was a business meeting, because I was kept going at the man looking for answers, and he didn't give me satisfactory answers. I think the school budget is obviously important in our increase, but I think as a school committee member, our responsibility is the budget for the whole town of Reading. I don't feel as though I want to have all these wonderful schools, which I certainly do, without having any police or fire, any DPW workers, or I don't want to have roads that I can't get the kids to school. So I think it is important to support a budget that is not only 2.5% increase, which we obviously get in tax as well as the new growth, but we need to make tough decisions to really stay in within that to the best of our abilities.
Linda, how do you feel on this subject?
Well, that has been a cause for concern of mine for years, and people have said that I've tried to reduce the school budget, and that's not true. I never have. My concern has always been to see where the money goes and to make evaluations on some of the things that we're doing, if we're getting our money's worth, or is that just rhetoric that we keep saying? I was a little disturbed this year, and every year I get a little disturbed, and I get over it, I guess, but I still feel that, for example, when the Finance Committee told the school department to really, like, 1% was optimistic, and they came up with a 2% budget and a 4% budget, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't think we're having an override this year, so why would we not be talking the same language? To me, 1% means a 1% increase. And then see where we go from there. I've always been an advocate of zero-based budgeting, where you justify from the bottom up every year, do we really still need these things? Are these still things still working for us? I did a little interesting study in preparing for this, and I thought it was very revealing. I looked at the 1999 school budget. Why did I do that? Because in 1999, we had the same number of students in the district as we do right now, about 4,200. And I compared it with this year. And in 1999, we had nearly the same amount of students. We had substantially separate students, those children with very special needs. We had actually, in 1999 and now, this year in 2005, we have 18 less. The IEPs we had in 1999 and the ones we have this year, we have 3 less than 1999. I hope I'm being clear here. But what was most startling was looking at the number of employees in the school department. In 1999, for the same amount of students that we have now in the district, we had 510 full-time equivalents. Right now, we have 541, an increase of nearly 32 full-time equivalent positions for the same number of students. But the most important and startling fact I found was that when I looked at classroom teachers, the number of classroom teachers in 1999 was 209.80. The number of classroom teachers in this school year is 209.0. We actually have nearly one teacher less for the same amount of students. The bottom line was even more revealing, where it showed in 1999 we had an average of 4.2% growth, but the budget numbers have increased $6.8 million. Where is that money going?
Linda, I only have one comment. And this is I would do to anyone who came up with history. What I am interested in is, would you support staying in the guidelines of the 2.5% increase levy, which is built automatically into the budget, known as 2.5?
Yes, absolutely I would, because I think to plan on any more than that would be is not being a responsible citizen of the town of Reading, of which we all are a member. I'm a town meeting member, and I'm a parent, and I'm a consumer of the school department. And I think when we're adding positions that don't directly affect the classroom, I think everyone needs to be strongly defended to the public, because not only does it affect the school department, it also affects the town because they pick up the benefits and the other expenses that are involved with hiring employees, whether it's adding another necessary nurse or another ed assistant. It still requires more money of the town side and the school side. And so we have to look at that. And I don't believe the budget should be cut, but I really think to be a responsible member of the community, yes, we should keep to 2.5 unless we know that we're going to get some revenue above that. And then we can say, well, if we get that revenue, what is the first thing we're going to do with it? We're going to do this, this, and this with it.
So, Linda, your answer is yes.
Yes, that's the short answer.
Do either of you want to respond or have any?
Yeah, there's one additional thing in terms of when you look at the total budget in terms of an increase of 3.1%, what came into place this year was Governor Romney released his budget, which, according to our state representative, state senator, said would be the worst-case scenario for Reading. We picked up approximately $150,000 to $200,000 of additional aid, which went to our budget. So even though the tax base increased by 2.5%, we did receive more total dollars in our budget based off the additional state aid that we got, which really made it up to the 3.1. One additional thing is that you're absolutely right. We do need to stay within what we have to spend. However, we are mandated by a lot of special ed requirements that the children are entitled to the services. And Linda is absolutely correct in terms of the number of teachers we have really has not fluctuated very much in the past five or six years thereabouts. However, the cost for a student in special ed, we have some children that cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we need to meet their needs. And unfortunately, we are handcuffed. The biggest travesty that's going on in education today is, unfortunately, in special ed, not the children, but these private placements where they go about putting a child in there without even notifying the district, and then their answer to everything is going to court and be able to do that. And I'm very fortunate. I have three children right now, and I would do anything for my children, and parents certainly should be able to do that. But I think people need to take a step back, and when they see huge increases, like Mrs. Phillips mentioned, they also got to look at it, is that we do have children in this town that cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to educate, and they're entitled to that education. So we need to keep that in perspective when you're looking at a bottom line number in your budget, because you do need to meet all the services of every single child.
Lisa.
I would just like to add to that we came in at 3.1%, but I think everyone needs to remember that we're bringing a whole brand new school online this year as well, and we need to have building maintenance built into that, and we need to have staff built into that, and we need to remember that the school department manages and maintains and takes care of every town building, and with that comes that added to our budget as well.
Paul, I'd like you to address...
Jim, could I have a follow-up with that?
Yes, you can.
Mr. McFadden brought up special ed. I'd just like to add, even though there have been extraordinary costs for special ed, and they have increased over the years, when you actually look at the numbers, you see that the substantially separate, those are the children that do have more direct one-on-one contact with a special ed teacher or their own ed assistant assigned to them. In that comparison I gave you, there's 18 less this year. So that's 18 less people of some sort or another. And, well, there's a minimal change in the IEPs. But I did want to say under the special ed that Reading has been instrumental in lobbying our state legislators to get money to help with the special ed costs. And we've been successful in doing that because the legislature passed it in 2000. It's what's called the Circuit Breaker Reimbursement Program. And although it wasn't funded for the first 2 years when the governor came in and the budget was tight, it's been funded in the last 2 years. And that money has enabled Reading to get the money for special ed. And this year it's a reimbursement program. We spend over $3 million in special ed. When you look at the budget, that really hasn't grown that much. But we've gotten that reimbursement And to my amazement, the school committee has voted at the end of the year when they had that money, the special ed money left over, they took that money, $645,000, and put it in the school building projects. At the very same time, parents of special ed children who had been in the district for years, who were getting services but wasn't really meeting the need, and the child's improvement was not being documented in the IEP, had a need to hire an attorney who received a letter saying, we cannot afford to provide your child with services out of district. That's what got me upset enough to address the issue at town meeting, that we were using special ed money that was being reimbursed by the state to help offset the special ed, extraordinary special ed cost under the circuit breaker program, but the school department said they didn't need it and they could put it in building projects.
I'm going to give you one more chance on this question, okay?
I would just like to speak to that for a moment.
Please try and keep it brief.
Okay. I have some issues with what Mrs. Phillips just said. Though there may be 18 less students who are receiving special ed services, no one at this table is aware of what the students who are currently in our special ed, who are currently receiving special ed service, no one at this table is privy to the kind of services that any of the children on IEPs are receiving, and no one should be. It is confidential. The IEPs are confidential, and no one here knows what is being met and what is not being met. That said, I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding as to what the circuit breaker is, and the special ed director and the administration for Reading Public Schools has been very aggressive in their reimbursements for the circuit breaker. The circuit breaker is a reimbursement for money that has already been spent in the budget for special education. Every penny that we get back has already been spent, which allows us the opportunity to take other things out of our operating budget to put in other places. In other words, the children on ed plans are receiving all of their services, and if they weren't, we would not be getting any money back from the circuit breaker.
One additional thing is that I'm somewhat amazed. I've been the chairman of the school committee the past year, vice chairman the year before that, and any form of litigation that takes place, the chairman of the school committee is notified. I've never received any such notification. We never talk about Sally or Joey or special ed because that's none of our business. We handle policy. So I'm not quite sure where there's some litigation. I mean, I know there's litigation all the time going back and forth in terms of parents fighting for their services, which they're entitled to. But not one dime was not spent on a child for his or her services that they're entitled to. In reference to us spending additional money that's left over in our budget based off of good, sound financial management, I will support every single day that if I can invest a dollar and get get 66 cents on that dollar back from the state because we're under budget of what the state allows us for our school projects to build our infrastructure so that we can maximize that return on our tax dollars that we pay to the state every single year, every single day, I'll do it every single time.
Paul. I'm going to bring you back into the act.
Okay.
You start with Linda Phillips, please.
Okay. Linda, when someone moves to town, one of the great qualities of Reading that's always touted is the school system. I'd like to try to flip that around for a minute. And are there any areas of the Reading school system that you think could be improved? And if so, you know, how could you bring about those improvements if you're a member of the school committee?
I'm one of those few people who came to Reading because I fell in love with the house. I moved about 4 miles from where I used to live, and I fell in love with the house, and I just expected that the schools in Reading would meet the needs of my two children. And they have, and I've been thankful for that, and I've been grateful for the interaction I've had and positive experience with all the teachers in Reading, with IEP preparation and addressing issues on IEPs. They've been very receptive and responsive to the needs that my husband and I feel needed to be addressed with our children. I do think it's all exaggerated a little bit, especially since I came from another community. The MCAS scores may be the only reason that the realtors say, well, Reading's place is such and such and so and so. But really, I think there's, you know, I think we shouldn't be too comfortable where we are. I'm a person who's always moving, and I like the thought of moving forward and making forward progress. And that means that you can't stay still, because if you stay still, you can get stagnant, or you can get too comfortable where you are. And sometimes in order to move, you need a little prodding stick, and you need to be reminded or challenged that there's other things to do out there and other ways you can improve things. I've tried to address over the years curriculum improvements with very little success. I haven't been on the board, but I've written letters, I've written articles about it. That was my first eye into the system when my oldest child reached first grade, and I could see that with her, with some language processing issues, that the math program was not going to meet her needs. The math program is language based, and I feel it discriminates against a child who might have language issues, and it makes it more difficult for them to feel like they can achieve success in math. And as we know today, that that's a very important thing. Children need to feel like they can achieve success in every single subject, because then their effort will diminish, and their success will follow with that. So curriculum has been where my heart has been, where I have advocated for improvements. The MCAS scores are still a cause for concern, and I was just looking at that tonight, and I don't have the paper right in front of me, but there's been a steady increase of at least one-third of our children need improvement or are failing. And when I looked at them again tonight before I came, I saw that in a couple of the categories of mathematics, I think it was the fourth grade or the sixth grade, that it was nearly 40%, which means it's gone up a little bit more. And we're still hanging on to this program that I think is a source of a lot of parents' consternation. I hear from parents all the time that they don't understand why multiplication is being done this way instead of that way, why we're doing algebra in third grade when our kids haven't mastered multiplication tables. So I am sticking to that. I really think even though my children have gone through it and we've tutored them and gotten the extra help to keep them where we feel they should be, I think the math program really needs to be evaluated. We've been trying to address the language arts program. We had a new language arts literacy place program that was brought online about 3 years ago. Since we spent $650,000 on that program, we've spent more money supplementing that with Zahner Bluser for vocabulary, and I could go on and on because this has been something I've been keeping track of for years. So I think curriculum improvements are where it's at, and if we want our kids' MCAS scores to improve, that's the area where we need to do it, not necessarily reducing class size, but giving the teachers the tools they need to do the best job they can do.
Tom.
Aren't you glad you asked?
Paul, essentially, I want to make sure I understand the question. It's not necessarily it's MCAS, but what do you feel the Reading school system's lacking?
Just if there are any improvements that you think could be made. And
the biggest improvement that I think we need to make is diversity. Our METCO program, I'm going to call a spade, it does not exist. It exists, however, when we have, out of 4,200 children thereabouts, we have less than 20 in the METCO program. I really feel as though the children are missing out on really a diversity as well as a cultural connection with the inner city of Boston. That's certainly one of the areas that I want to address more aggressively in my second three-year term. And fortunately, now that we have the fifth elementary school online, we can actually look to expand that. However, it's a balancing act because where Mrs. Phillips mentions in terms of she doesn't necessarily feel class size is the be-all and end-all, I would argue that it is because I know that when I'm dealing one-on-one with my child as opposed to three of the children against one, it's definitely us versus them. I feel as though I can give more attention to that one particular child as opposed to when I have all three of my children together. So the issue is with class size. I know that we've heard from a lot of parents that want to minimize, obviously, class size, and sometimes I really think that we need to take advantage of the METCO program and increase the diversity because I think it's something that you really can't even put a price on of what the children do learn.
Lisa.
Paul, I think there are a few challenges that are facing the school department, and I think if I could just list them for you and then go into a little bit of detail. I think unfunded federal mandates like No Child Left Behind, building maintenance, and a budget to sustain curriculum and instruction, including technology aimed at improving instruction. Also, Mr. McFadden is the liaison to the SAPAC, the Substance Abuse Prevention Advisory Council, and we invited them to a meeting with us and the Board of Selectmen last week. And like every other town in the Commonwealth, Reading has a problem with opiates, and it's critical we continue to cultivate this relationship with them to include the school councils and the PTOs and parents and students alike. The PSA that we all hear that parents are the anti-drug is true. And as a mother of three, I want my kids to grow up in a community that's proactive in this regard. So I think that's a challenge. Back to the unfunded federal mandates, I think that, like I said before in one of my previous answers, the administration and especially the special ed director has been very aggressive in receiving Medicaid reimbursements, which go directly into the town general fund, and also the circuit breaker money. So I think that's how we try to address things like that. Building maintenance, over the past 2 years, the school department has made great strides in their building maintenance, but as always, the buildings take quite a beating with all the students in and out. And we are aggressive with regard to all buildings, and in particular with one building that has never received any renovation, which is Killam. And they've received new boilers, new windows, new carpeting, new cafeteria lighting. And for the first time in the town, all buildings have a capital improvement plan, which was submitted to FinCom last week, which was received very well. And John Tafalt is our facilities director. He has started to put together a site, what is he calling it? A site-specific handbook for each building in the town, which addresses maintenance issues, instructions, very cut and dried, clear instructions on cleaning, and also the MSDS safety sheets. So it's coming down to a science, and we're working really hard on that, and it's going to take some more time, but that these are things that the budget priorities and the operational instructional priorities that me and the rest of my colleagues on the school committee are committed to improving.
Mike McIntyre, I almost forgot you were here.
I'm quiet.
If you have a question, let's start with I don't think we've started with Carl yet, have we?
Can't wait.
What do you feel is the, I suppose for lack of a better word, the role of the school committee when it comes to dealing with other groups in town such as the selectmen, the finance committee, and also the school administration as well, groups such as those?
What is our role?
Yeah.
Our role is really to advocate for the children of the town of Reading. That's our main role, obviously, with the selectmen. We have a very strong working relationship. 3 years ago, before I got on the board, one of my first goals has been and still is to improve that relationship. It was not necessarily the best of times between the selectmen and the school committee because, unfortunately, there was an us versus them type of mentality. And being born and raised in Reading, it's us. We're all one town, and we need to realize that. the relationship with the selectmen, I feel, is very strong. I certainly hope so, because one of the selectmen is my mother-in-law. So I hope to have a good relationship there. So, you know, that's really in reference to with the administrators, is that, you know, we do receive a lot of calls. I know I do at home, in terms of parents may have an issue with a principal or a teacher or a particular program, is really just to make sure that they have a platform to be able to speak to the appropriate people. One of the things that is a misconception sometimes with parents is that they believe we hire and fire teachers and principals, et cetera, and that was all pre-1993. The only person we hire and fire is the superintendent. And what we really do is, most of the time, we listen and point them in the right direction and really advocate for their position, because a lot of times the parents are right. And we need sometimes to be a third party and say, you know, this is what we got to do to solve your problem.
Linda.
Could you repeat that again? Because it sounded like there were several different branches that I could go off on.
Okay. It's basically the role of the school committee in regards to both the other town boards and the in dealing with the administration. Just the role of the school committee in dealing with others around town.
Okay. I think the most important job of the school committee is to be the liaison between the parents and school administration, because I feel like we're in loco parenti, in place of the parents, and the parents have given us the responsibility of taking care and educating their children, and I feel that's a very austere commitment. And I feel that as a public servant, if I was on a board, that would be my first responsibility. I do have the responsibility of working with the superintendent to set policy and establish guidelines under which our district will continue to grow and our environment will be one of openness and inclusiveness. And that openness and inclusiveness is part of the community, as Mr. McFadden said, and that we should not be pitting one board against another because our financial resources are limited. So I think that's important to keep in mind. But I feel like my first responsibility would be to help parents with any needs that they had, to make sure that they were listened to, acknowledged, and that their needs were being met for their children. And then I would work with the administration to find the best way that we could do that. And then I would expect that we would have the same relationship of respect and spirit of community, that we could work on any issues that came to our community and find a resolution of them with mutual understanding and respect and cooperation for each other.
Thank you.
My leadership style is not one of micromanaging. My leadership style is more team building and teamwork, and I feel that is what is going on right now. And like Mr. McFadden said, we kind of just give direction, and we look out for the students of this town. That's what I feel our role is with the administration, and I feel very comfortable with that. I also feel our relationship with the Board of Selectmen, there is somewhat perhaps a competitive tension that exists. We're all vying for the same pot of money, so to speak, to fulfill everyone's needs, and everyone has valid needs. But I think, you know, since the year that I've been on the board, we have invited both the Board of Selectmen and the FinCom to a great many of our meetings to discuss all of our issues, and I think we're all on the same page. We all want the same thing, and I'm very pleased with the way that it's been going.
Thank you.
The Killam School is the only school left which we haven't brought up to date. The estimated cost that I've been given is about $6 million. This would require a debt exclusion. Now, in the last 2 years, the average tax for the homeowner has risen 29%. Any of you, or all of you, in favor of a debt exclusion in the very near future to pay for this upgrading of Killam School. And Lisa, I'd like to start with you on this one.
Okay. I did reference Killam in one of my previous answers. Killam hasn't, although it hasn't had any formal renovation, it has had new boilers and windows, carpeting, cafeteria lighting. And while I realize that that is not certainly what the other schools have received, we do have, like I referenced earlier, a capital improvement plan that was submitted to the FinCom last week, and we did have a question and answer session. And the next step is to find out just exactly how we will be funding all of the initiatives on that capital improvement plan. And so I don't think at this point I'd be ready to say I'd be in favor of a debt exclusion, but I, you know, would really like to work with the FinCom to figure out how we are going to pay for all of those initiatives.
I don't believe in public lynching. And if we come forward with any type of debt exclusion, override, anything in the next decade, to be honest with you, it's just not fair to people. I want Reading to be able to be a place that I grew up in, that anyone be able to afford to live there. My mother could never have lived in the town of Reading presently. There's absolutely no way. And I refuse to put this the people of the town of Reading in a position where they have to move. It's not fair. Reading was made based off of the older generation, the World War II generation. And I look and sometimes I honestly feel bad in terms of the level. It's the easiest way to explain it. The difficulty. I know that senior citizens are entitled to tax breaks and exemptions, but that's not fair. I really don't. I feel as though we need to maximize our assets, get the best return on our investments, and make it as affordable as possible for every single person in the Commonwealth, as well as the citizens of Reading, to want to live in the town of Reading.
Linda.
I think that burden of taking on another elementary school renovation would be onerous indeed. And even as a middle-class working girl that I am, I find the taxes and their increases more troubling every year. But my husband and I are still of working age, so we can come up with it one way or another. But there are a lot of people in our community that I've heard from over the last 4 years that feel like they've been shut out of the process because they are finding it hard to stay in a town that they had spent their lives supporting the schools and everything else over the last few years. I was glad to hear over the last few meetings in the discussion of the capital plan with the superintendent that the plan was not to, it seemed like the plan was not to go out and ask for another debt exclusion, but to try to do repairs as a go-along basis to replace the windows and do that. And I feel kind of sad for the Killam parents because I feel like they're being left behind in a way because we've put all this money for the high school and we put all this money in a new elementary school and we're spending more money than over $2 million more than we anticipated in the Barrows project. So there's nothing left for there. And that's the only school I haven't actually been in, so I can't speak to the condition of it. I know it's the youngest school in the district, but I'm sure that any needs at the school will be addressed. I think there's been some roofing and some different things that have been done here and there, some new doors and some things that have been handled out of the maintenance part of the school budget. And I think we should do everything that we can to make that and facilitate that so that school is up to the standard of all our other schools. But I think this is what happens when you jump in to like 5 building projects, Coolidge, Parker, the high school, Barrows, the new school, all within a short period of time before one is paid off, we're going into another, and we're going into another. So we'll have to do the best we can with Killam, I guess.
Okay. Jim, could I just add one additional thing, is that I am a Killam parent. But Mrs. Phillips just mentioned in terms of jumping into different projects. I remember sitting here 3 years ago, and there was a lot of people in town, Mrs. Phillips included, that advocated for us, advocated to the community to not go forward with the high school, and that the state will never give us the money. Thank God we showed the leadership to get the high school project going forward. Thank God we did because what we have today would have cost the taxpayers of the town of Reading over $15 million more than if we waited with the naysayers that always say they're against every single type of project we do in the town of Reading. Thank God we showed the leadership, because ask yourself, what would $15 million more onto your tax base at a minimum be?
Can I respond to that, or Lisa needs to? Lisa,
yeah, I'll give you 1 minute.
Lisa needs to respond first.
No, go ahead.
So I'll give you a minute.
To respond?
Yeah.
I never was against the high school project. I just was against spending $54 million when I thought we could do it for $20 million less. We're reducing the building capacity by 600 students. We're losing a gym that is a valuable commodity in our community. We're tearing down 194,000 square foot of a structurally sound building. We're not there anymore. We've made the decision. We're moving on. And I would do the best that I can to provide oversight for that building project. But that $15 million could have been used at the Killam project, and we could have renovated our existing high school. I believe that the two feasibility studies showed we could have done it. I believe them. They were professionals. They knew what they were talking about. And if we had done that, we would have had the money to do Killam, and we could have spent the other $8 million or $6 million there to include that in the renovation process. So, and I'm not a naysayer. I supported the Barrel School in 1998 when I first moved here in town. And I think to be labeled as such, when you question the wisdom of some of the decisions, is not really being fair.
Lisa, I haven't given you the chance.
I don't really think I need to respond to that. Thank you.
I have a question, this next question is mine, what I've given you so far. I hope you guys don't mind. I'd like to object. This is a question that's been bugging me for the last month, because I've been driving around town looking at multiple residential developments taking place. I haven't done my homework in finding out how many new residences, such as how many newer condos, apartments, will be actually brought online. But my question is, and let's forget the past on this and think of the future, because that's what I want. I want an answer. Do you foresee an additional student incline enough to make us bring another school online? And I'm going to start with you on that one, Lisa.
At this point, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we do have a lot of data that we've been given by the superintendent, and those documents have been made public with regard to projected student enrollment for the next few years. And I don't see, with the Wood End School coming online and the Barrow School coming online in September and everything up and running with the whole new building, that I don't see that it will be necessary to advocate for a new school. I feel that the new school is just what we need, and it's going to take care of all the needs that we have, regardless of the developments that are being built in Reading at this time.
In reference to developments, what happens a lot of times is are people that live in Reading, as their children leave, they want to stay in Reading because it's such a wonderful town, and they move into those condos or townhouses, and then younger families starting new will come in to the empty nesters' house and bring in a couple kids. We see a lot of that coming, you know, people moving in from Stoneham and really 93 Carter, Somerville, and Medford, et cetera. I don't know where we'd put another school. I can't imagine we can. Maybe, you know, the landfill's taken care of now, so I don't think there's any additional land out there. But Jim, honestly, there's no way that I'll ever see another school.
Linda?
If I remember correctly, the Longwood Farm area is going to be for over 55. And I think 10% of that will be for low-income housing. And because of if I remember right from the first meetings when we were introduced to this as a school community, because it was some concern that it might overflow Barrows, was that they thought even with the 10% of the low-income portion of that development that there would be very few children because it was only going to be two bedrooms, and one of the bedrooms was going to be kind of like a loft in the design. So that wasn't really going to impact the district at that end of town. At the other end of town in the Eaton district is the Spence Farm, and I understand that is going to have also Chapter 10, I think it is, low-income housing. And there may be a few children in that area, but I think, again, it's like two bedrooms and maybe a starter home for someone or, you know, in the condominium area. So I don't think we could, I don't think we have any land to build another school. And I proposed adding on, even more classrooms onto the Barrows while we were renovating just in case we had that need. But everybody guffawed me about wanting to spend more money on a building project, and that was not a successful idea at town meeting. So I don't think we're going to need another school gym, and I think those projects are going to, and the one over by REI is going to also be over 55, so I don't think it's really going to impact the district for students. I have known, because I do house calls from people who are selling their things and moving, that I have been getting calls from people who are leaving their 2- and 3- and 4-bedroom homes, and they are going into these places. And so we'll probably see little blurps of rise in new children in homes where we haven't seen them before in a while. So I think that kind of backfilling that up, we might see a little bit of increase in enrollment in the local schools, but nothing that we can't handle.
We're going to have one more question, and I'll let Paul ask that question. And when we finish with that question, we'll give you all 3 minutes, no more than 4, in a closing statement. So, Paul, you can pick the order which you want your question addressed. And
I don't remember who started.
I'll go first.
Carl, I'm not sure if this is the best question to end on, but...
Well, good. I appreciate that.
You know, the question of, and this gets to the relationship with the selectmen, but the question of sidewalks along Franklin Street for the new school have, I think it's twice been defeated by voters in the past. Over the tenure, if you're elected to the school committee over your next tenure, is that a question that you'd like to float with them again about putting before the voters, or would you like to try to find another way to get the money, or is it just not a worthy project?
The voters have said no. Mm. But the voters have also said yes in terms of schools. You know, we've dealt with some issues in reference to redistricting, as an example. And, you know, a lot of people there's been issues, you know, with some of the redistricting. Has it been perfect? No. Has it been very good? I think so. You know, we redistricted 2,400 kids, and unfortunately, one of the major issues was in particular on the new schools, the Covey Hill area. That's certainly an area that I'm concerned with, having grown up on that side of town, and I voted to put the Covey Hill area into the Bridge Revenue of the sidewalks there. But the voters have said no twice, so it is our responsibility as elected officials to really figure out a way to get sidewalks in there. I know that we've had conversations with the town manager on trying to figure out ways, unfortunately doing it by piecemeal, whether each year we're able to do 50 to 100 yards at a time. But unfortunately, the area he's looking at is down towards the home goods area because it's quicker right off of 20, and there's more land, there's more potential sidewalk as opposed to having to take land from residents. It's the biggest concern we have out there, and the last thing I'd hate to have happen is someone get hurt. And I'm praying that that won't be the case, but hopefully we'll be able to continue doing it and be able to get the sidewalks in there, because it is the most important area, I think, is around the school, because that's where the children are, obviously.
I think the reason the voters, this is what I heard, why the reason people weren't supporting the articles for the sidewalks was, number one, some parents felt that there were other schools areas that needed sidewalks as well, and they felt like just because we had a new school, why should all the town resources go there? That was a legitimate concern of some people. And the other one was that if we were getting the school, a lot of people felt that the price for the sidewalk should have been included in the whole cost of what we needed to make that school run, what we needed for staff, what we needed for operating costs, for the electricity, for the gas, all of that. We should have known up front what those costs were. And I think that's why people had a very negative reaction toward funding the sidewalks. The sidewalks need to be there, regardless of the fact that the voters didn't appropriate the money. And before we redistrict any children to the new school, I think they should be there, and that's why I support the redistricting proposal of some folks under Warren Article 20, which I will address later. But I did come across a program, it's new legislation that I don't know if the town is aware of. It's called Walk Boston. It's a Safe Routes to School, and it says the Safe Routes to School bill is passed as law as part of a transportation bond bill in 2004. Walk Boston has worked especially hard to gain this victory. The bill has no less than $5 million. And we just built a new school that doesn't have adequate sidewalks that connect the children to the facility that we're making available for them. And this was quite an interesting thing. It said the Massachusetts representatives, it said they lauded this walk-to-school program that the Commonwealth is trying to implement statewide. So it might be a way for us to look for some funding. I did hear last night at the selectmen's meeting that it's $60 a foot is the average cost, and there's trees that need to come down, and we treasure our trees here in Reading. But it is can be a life and death issue for children, and I didn't allow my children to walk until this year because they can walk together, and they're in middle school, and there's other children that they can walk with, and they do have sidewalks connected all the way to the school and to our home. So the governor's got a program for fitness. I just read in the paper today the town of Springfield is looking at redistricting in a way that allows children to walk to their neighborhood schools. And we're kind of out of track with that. We're going the opposite way. But I think this may be a source of getting some money, and maybe we need to talk to our legislators and see how we can get some of that to help fund the sidewalks. And I'll address the redistricting issue later.
Lisa.
Rick Schubert, the chair of the Board of Selectmen, attended, I think, pretty much all of our redistricting meetings, and we had about 8 of them, I believe. And he heard the concerns of the people of this town with regard to the lack of sidewalks to the schools. And I think that although that the vote has been defeated twice by the voters, as you mentioned, I believe that now, because we are working so closely with the Board of Selectmen, and the selectmen had a meeting last evening with regard to the sidewalks, they're taking it very seriously, and they are planning to appropriate some funds for it, from what I understand. So hopefully we can work closely with them and decide where the sidewalks go and help give some input for the solution.
Now I'm going to move on. Did we cover everybody?
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to our closing statements. I have my watch with me, and I'm going to be watching it.
You're not going to need it for me.
And the maximum will be 4. I don't want anybody to be insulted at 4 minutes when I say, that's it. So who wants to start? I'll let you people draw straws.
Makes no difference to me.
Me either.
I always believe ladies before gentlemen. That's just my philosophy.
I'll get it over.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. I feel, I spoke to before, my background in teaching and in schools, and I'm committed, and I've shown my commitment over the past year on the school committee to the budget and instructional priorities set forth by us as a committee, class size, building maintenance, technology, facilities, and curriculum. I feel that the experience that I've gained over the past year is invaluable, and with a lot of the things going on that aren't finished yet, I feel that a change in the board would not be prudent for the school system. So I'm going to finish this up right now. I'm going to just say that I hope that everyone goes out to vote. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to vote, that we have that freedom, and I hope that everyone goes out on April 5th. And thank you to RCTV for having us.
Sure, Kyle.
Oh, sure. Well, I want to thank everyone. Mac, welcome to Reading. And Paul, thank you again for taking your time. And Jim, as always, for hosting this and giving up your evening. I want to thank the voters for the past 3 years of having elected me on the school committee. It's been a wonderful 3 years. We have a new superintendent. It was very nice to have a former Reading person come back home. I think that's important for the community to really set an example for our young children. We've undertaken 3 tremendously difficult school projects. Presently, they're on time and on budget. Our MCAS score is as high as they've ever been. We're in the top 20. Right now, we're really at a critical time and a crossroads. We have, unfortunately, a healthcare system that is a freight train, as I mentioned earlier, running away. We need to be able to get to grips with this, working with the selectmen. One thing that has been not mentioned tonight is that we're in the process of negotiating, hopefully finalizing very quickly, 6 union contracts. No formal votes have been taken as of yet, but I think it's very, very important for us to be able to have contracts that are fair to everyone involved so that we can keep the cost structure. That is one of the things that the school committee can control, is really the cost structure that we are paying our teachers and our administrators and our union officials. I feel as though I will be a tremendous advocate for the children of the town of Reading. I feel as though I have probably the greatest access of anyone on the school committee board to the State House and with the governor. We feel as though when we're advocating for things such as the sidewalks, as Mrs. Phillips just mentioned, it is very nice to be able to pick up the phone and speak to the powers that be in the government, and they know on a first-hand basis. I think the proudest moment that I had on the board was when our Coolidge Middle School won an award as one of the top 20 schools in the country. And I picked up the phone and I called Governor Romney and his staff and said, you know, you need to come out and see what's going on here with this middle school. And it was wonderful when you walk into the school with him and the kids are so well behaved and so polite, welcoming him. And he looks over to me and he says, God, I wish the 350 other towns besides Reading could be like this. I was never prouder than I was that day of not just our faculty, our staff, but every single resident of the town of Reading, because they have supported the schools. They'll always continue to support the schools. Do we have arguments? Do we have a difference of opinions? Absolutely. But it's all said and done. We're all one. We're the town of Reading. And I want to serve you again for another 3 years. I appreciate the support. And hopefully everyone will be able to vote on April 5th. Thank you.
I'd like to thank RCTV for providing this opportunity to the candidates and for the public service they provide in doing so. Thank you again, Mr. Kigley, Mr. Feely, and Mr. McIntyre, for your willingness to participate in the debates. I came with no prepared statement tonight. Instead, I thought it might be good to summarize some of the issues and values that we discussed this evening, and so I could have a chance to be a little more specific. Just as I was able to bring up issues in the context of a debate, I intend to respond to your concerns and will give and take with you until we can develop the best ideas for our school children. Tonight we talked about making improvements into the system, how we can be better community members as members of the school committee. I think those things are important. An issue that's been burning in the community, though, that we didn't talk about, and I'm a little puzzled by, is over the last few months has been concerns over the process of redistricting and the end result of it. And I would be remiss running for school committee if I didn't address those issues that the parents have raised. The parents have felt that the school committee has been unresponsive to their needs. I would not be unresponsive to your needs, whether it's about redistricting or about advocating for your child or in areas where you think any improvements need to be made. I was very concerned when I saw that the school committee went to get a legal opinion to determine the propriety of the Warren article that these folks put together, got signatures for from different parts of the town, because they felt that their ideas and their concerns were not being addressed, they were not being heard, and they felt with a sense of frustration, which I have shared on many times with the school committee, that they weren't being listened to and acknowledged and treated with the respect that they deserve as parents and consumers of the school system. So when I got a copy from the town manager's office of what the legal opinion was, I read it, and I was really puzzled because it really said that the article that these folks felt so strongly about and felt they couldn't get resolved within the committee, they were going to take to the town and have an opportunity to have an airing and a discussion of the issues. And I think they felt good about that. And then when it was in the newspaper, Mr. Feely had published it in his paper, that town council said that the moderator should just take the motion and say it was out of order, I was really disturbed. And not being a person to sit back, I had connections as well, and I'm not a name dropper, but I did call someone in the Attorney General's office in the Municipal Law Division by the name of Mr. Robert Ritchie. He's advised me before when I've had questions on procedures that I thought the school committee was not properly following. And when I forwarded him a copy of Town Council's opinion and the warrant article, I asked him and expressed concern that town council said this article couldn't be discussed at town meeting. And I felt that that was not a good thing for the community, that we needed to be able to bring things to the floor. And when he looked at the opinion, he agreed, and he said that there was only one word that was an issue here, and it was that no one should direct the school committee or the board of selectmen or any other public official, that town meeting could only advise or instruct. And I spoke with him further to make sure I understood exactly what he said, because I knew the importance of what he was saying and how it differed with the opinion of town council.
1 minute.
And Mr. Ritchie assured me he would speak with town council and that the warrant article was not out of order, and that it should be discussed at town meeting, and that the moderator, when the motion was made for the floor, that the correct wording could be inserted. I would never use town council as a way to shut down public debate in this community. And I think it's a shame that the school committee would use the legal authority of town council to do that. I would never do that, and I look forward to the discussion at town meeting. If you like the way you've been treated, if you think everything is just fine, don't vote for me. Vote for the incumbents. But you know I'm going to speak up when I see something is wrong and needs to be addressed. And if I didn't speak up in this case, we would never be discussing Article 20 on redistricting at town meeting. It's up to you. It's in your hands. Vote for me on April 5th, Linda Phillips, for school committee. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night, same place, same time, we will be interviewing the selectmen, the four candidates for two seats, of which none are incumbents. It'll be a nice, interesting evening, so I hope you will join me. I want to thank RCTV, Paul Feely, Mac McIntyre, and certainly the three candidates, Linda Phillips, Carl McFadden, and Lisa Gibbs. Without you, we couldn't have done this. So I wish you all a good night. Stay out of the snow. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.